This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports Station. Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Well, the Seahawks lose to the Atlanta Falcons at home yesterday. Close game, but unfortunately unable to close things out. There was some good, there were some bad, much to discuss. Pete Carroll addressing all of it with the media.
Pete, I think through three games you're allowing about 5 yards a carry with the rush game, to kind of speak to some of the numbers you're talking about there. But like 4-9, close to 5. What stands out when you go watch it? Like, what aren't you seeing that you want to see? Is it attack? Is it getting off?
We have to play with each other. There wasn't a tackling issue to me in this game. That wasn't it. It was more fitting together and making sure that we're in the right spots and we're hitting our fits like we're supposed to. I really was impressed with the running back. I mean, he was roaring, and I think he's going to continue to get better. I think they realized that they really got something special in that guy.
Have you seen a guy make that sort of transition?
No. No, I haven't seen anybody like that. And really, you can see him. He continues to find his kind of his confidence in the things that he can do. And he's always been a special player, but he hasn't ever found his niche like he has now. And I was trying to not talk about him last week because I knew they were in town. I didn't want to pump him up because they were rotating him a lot. And that was better than him being out there. But, I think he has a chance with the way they're doing it and the way they're using him to have a really big year.
The holding calls on Damian in the fourth quarter.
The one on the screen, the big play, sets us back on the last drive. That was legit. He had hold of the guy's jersey and it was a good tight hold. But had he stayed with him, but the guy started to pull away a little bit, so he could see the pull. It's always the tug of the jersey that they can see, and that's legit, and we can't do that.
Offensively, with the growth you've seen, is it progressing about as you expected this
well, time? I made some comment and just in responding last week about the throwing game and about Gino, because of what you saw. He was in command of it and he's got it. I think we didn't do a whole lot different with this week. We just knew that he was going to be able to pull it off and put it together in a big way, and that was not going to be an area that we needed to be concerned about. He was a good ball for us, and he did. He was really good in a lot of tough passes. Timing was really good. The third down wins. We just missed having an enormous third down with our third and threes that we missed a couple of those. I think this is really a good time for us on offense. I think this is time for us to really go.
What did you like about the tempo? There was a lot of no huddle yesterday compared to the
We love playing like that. We love playing like that and taking advantage of what we know how to do well and make your defenses have to deal with it. Tempo is not as big a deal as it once was. It's so common now that everybody has their ways of dealing with it. But it still, creates a sense of urgency on the other side, and you can wear them down a little bit if you can keep some succession going there. So it's a good part of our game. And Shane's really in good command of that.
What do you think of Cody and Jordan?
What do I think of them?
Yeah, how they played good games.
I think Jordan has, really been at the top edge of his game. He's got a million things that he's doing well. He's doing everything well. And Cody he had a couple plays yesterday that he needs back. In general, he's been consistent. He got a lot of exposure yesterday, and some stuff, and we needed to fit him up and runs a couple shots better. Passing game, he had a couple shots too on third downs. The ball was around him and all that. So he got a lot of action yesterday. He's working really hard at it, and he did not have a full week of practice. Whether that mattered, I don't know, but we're counting on him to come through.
How did you feel like the offensive line played yesterday?
Really solid. Really solid day. Protection was great, and we gave up a couple sacks late in the game, but the protection was really good. The running game was, we're right around 5 yards a clip, and it was a nice day for the guys. I think the tackles continue to just show really a consistency that we're counting on. They're not wowed by what's going on. They're handling it.
Cody and Jordan,
the twin. runs, you know. You kind of feel like the two guys kind of hanging together. But I really like what they're doing. Sorry.
And Jordan and the blend, there's significant different responsibilities they have when there's five guys on the line in front of them versus when there's only four.
It's a good question. Now, really, Michael, that depends on the call. There are different calls that come out of the 4-3 look that aren't necessarily part of the 3-4 look, and so they have different stuff that they do. And both aspects, I'm going to try to give you a general way so you have an answer to this one. Both aspects have single gap responsibility at times as opposed to having two gap responsibility at times. So so it's there's a difference between the two, and they have to know.
When the tight ends are playing the way they are, I mean, obviously, what does that do to the offense besides it helps move the chains? Are you able to do? What are you more able to do?
Yeah, we want to continue to push it, you know, because it's a really good group for us, and you know, when DK's and the other guy and we're lined up to run the football as well, you know, you have some edges that you can take advantage of in the running game. And then when you can use all three guys, you know, there's no one guy they can take away, you know, because everybody's contributing in a good fashion. So it's a really good spot for us. Our guys can all catch the ball really well, very confidently, you know, from our end of it. We want to use them. So it's just a matter of continuing to grow with it. It slows down your offense a little bit, and you don't have as many fast guys on the field. But it's a different aspect of it, and they certainly can give us an edge. We need to keep working it and developing it because there's nothing that we can't do with those guys.
Do you remember doing that here previous to this with three tight ends?
Yeah, we've always used – you know, we've always had it. It's not been as much of an obvious focus for us. This is the best group we've had.
Sidney Jones wasn't active yesterday. Where, I guess, was he healthy, and where does he fit into things right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, it just happened because of our needs.
Are Burns back this week?
Already practiced, and we needed to get a couple weeks to get shaped so that he was, you know, well on his way to being fine and healed. So he'll be practicing this week, trying to get on practice on field. He's really sore. Yeah, he got hurt. He had significant, I don't call it bruised ribs, a little bit of cartilage in there issue. I don't know how far this is going to take him or not. I don't know, but I know he's really uncomfortable today.
That happened on the one right.
Yeah, he got a helmet. He got hit on one side and it really actually hurt him on the other side, which is really unusual in my experience. Which is very limited, but yeah, he got banged pretty good.
What do you need to step up on special teams and coverage units?
Well, DJ did a great job taking over the punt team, and guys, Ryan Neal had to move to another side. I mean, a lot of things had to happen because he's such an integral part, so this does open up an opportunity for our guys to move around and step up.
Sidney Jones still competing? They always compete, but is he still in the plans at corner?
Yeah, the guys are just doing well. You know, the guys that are playing out there, both Tariq and Michael are doing a good job. And so it's kind of, you know, we're in rhythm a little bit and want to keep those guys growing as young players. But it's always competitive, of course, and we know that Sidney can play, and we know that Artie can play. So the position that went from, you know, like looking pretty bleak, like we didn't have any backup, you know, experienced players. Now that those guys are back out there, we've got a good group now, and so we'll see how that works.
Speaking of Tariq, he got his first pick yesterday. Just, are you even surprised that this early into his career he seemed to have locked into things as quick as he has, given what you guys?
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. Oh yeah, I knew it was going to happen. You know, I can say that, but I didn't think that. I didn't know. I didn't know the kind of background about him, you know, and just knew that, I mean, a regular part of the draft and all, and a guy that, you know, we were interested in because of all the measurables, and he's been way better than that, been way better than what I think we could have projected this, and really because his mentality really, he's really seemingly with opportunity, and he's open for criticism and open for critique and getting better. You can talk to him in the games, and he's calm and poised. He's off to a great start, and to make, you know, this week and a huge play this week, that's a pretty big deal in 3 weeks. So just go, you know, you know, you don't need to pat him on the back too much. He's doing get him going. I'm really fed up about his contribution, though.
Did it feel like a leap of faith to start him, just considering he's rookie fifth?
Yeah, I think you start rookie corner. You make a big statement in there. However, he earned it. You know, he just flat out earned it. He came out here and did well from day one, and route after route after route, challenge. It really was his work against Marquise that really elevated, you know, our opinion of him, because he hung with him on a bunch of different routes in camp, and we could see that he could handle the speed, and he was very consistent about it. And really, with the young guys, it's, you know, you wonder if they're going to be consistent. That's, you know, you don't know, because they haven't been out there and they haven't shown you, so you don't know what to go on. And but he gave me and I know Carl and Clint, they gave us all enough confidence that he would have a shot at it, you know. And should he, you know, he's 3 weeks old, so he's just getting going.
You told the story on the radio about Richard Sherman, the decision you made with him, a decade ago. Were you saying that, did that sort of give you some background, knowing that you can trust a guy that early?
I don't know if that one gave me that background. That's the right way of saying it. But we have been through the experience, and there's a like story. You know, the guy came over from receiver in the middle of his college career in his junior year, got 2 years on defense, and there was some similarities about it. And, you know, I've been talking to Sherm about Tariq for a long time, you know, stages along the way. And actually, you know, Tariq quicker start than Sherm did. And just like if you'd asked me about Sherm, I would have been, if I was really straight up, I'd say I was really surprised too in Sherm and his ability to take over as well as he did, as soon as he did. And I just know as well as I did know him, way more so than Tariq. I didn't realize he was going to have much savvy that would just come to the front right from the beginning. The competitiveness we understood and a lot of things, but man, he was just a great player. You know, his great brain for a player. You know, he was so aware and took advantage of savvy. And so they're different, but there's a lot of similarities as well. And it's kind of fun watching him, and I'm glad Sherm's been kind of a part of it.
We talked about tackles. Boy, I mean, we talked about so many rookies. The growth from basically your entire class so far this season, how rare is it to have all those guys contribute as well?
It's a fantastic class. It really is. And this is a great sign as we move forward. You know, these guys are going to get better. They're going to be better in the next 3 or 4 weeks. You know, they're going to make improvement in the next 3 or 4 weeks as they go. They put 3 weeks behind them and get them another one and another one. You keep adding. It's just going to, we have to maintain a vision for down the road here, because we're going places. And when we can function that clean on offense, and you can count on your QB to be that much on it, and it really do a good job taking care of the football as well, it gives us really big expectations. And so we just got to get going. There's no time, but the future looks bright.
You've got enough to worry about with your own team. I'm just wondering if you've had any glimpses of what the Huskies are doing.
Yeah, I'm fired up. They're off to such a good start. The quarterback has been great. Golly, he's been a dynamic player for him. And what a good start, you know. What a crazy week it was too for the Cougs. And I mean, football was crazy last week. There was a lot of stuff that happened. A lot of things that, you know, you wouldn't think would turn the way they did. I mean, look at our division. Our division is just 3 teams, 1 and 2 in the division. How in the heck that happened, you know? And the Rams are doing their thing, but everybody's in it, so it's who can progress the fastest and stay the healthiest and keep moving, and it's going to be an exciting year.
Did you get more of an explanation on the whole drone thing and what happened with that?
Matter of fact, I haven't heard a word about it. You know, it was interesting, a couple moments in there during the, you know, to see what was going on. I never did see it. Did anybody see it? No.
Cool to catch up with Super Brilliant.
Yeah, that was a great moment. I mean, I've met her before and had tremendous respect and all, but just in the last few years, you know, that she's, all the things that she's done, I haven't met her, matter of fact, but all the things that she's done in her career, and then she just continues to be such an amazing person, an amazing character and personality and competitor and all of that. You know, she's as good as you can get, and I don't care what sport, what side, venture on, whatever, you know, she can do it all, man. And I asked her, "Hey, are you sure you're done?" You know, and she kind of laughed about it. She's going to check it out. She's got a million things she's going to do. She's going to be a tremendous asset to the world, and as she goes down the line here, and for the women and young girls and all that. And what a great iconic figure she is. So it's really something.
To circle back on when you said you need to maintain a vision this Super Bowl.
She didn't want to stay on talking about Sue. That was kind of fun right there.
The future looks bright. Are you talking within the season?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Next few weeks, I think we can make strides. And these guys, they can't help but learn and grow, and they're out there playing and all that. And so as we all put it together, I mean, how could you, if you like the Seahawks, how could you not be fired up about what Geno's done? You know, I mean, he's done a great job for us. And so that's just one of the factors, you know, but it's a factor that was a question mark, and now you can see him. So I'm really, really fired up about that.
One more, Willen. You said on the radio that all he really has to do is stick to the basics. What was the thought behind that?
That's just stepping and kicking. I mean, it's just the basics of things come so comfortably to him. If he just starts really well and does a really nice job technique wise and believes in himself and makes each play. See, we've been through this for a lot of years with guys, and this principle that we teach, and that I have so many examples of guys who have captured it over the years. Once you get really confident that you entrust yourself, then the plays become a lot the same, one after another, after another, after another. You just keep stacking them up. So he's working on stacking, you know, plays in the series, stacking plays in the game, and then games, game after game, and see if he can learn a ton that he's going to learn and all. But it's more simple than it is complex, though. It's really the fundamentals of the way he can play. Not everybody can do it this way. So just all of the guys that I've coached over the years, they're all watching.
First halves have been more productive generally than the second half.
We've started some games pretty well here, and you can see it off going, and then the numbers don't continue to go. And I think it's just adapting to the season and adapting to the games and all of that. Same with him. You know, I think with the young guys in particular. And that's why unfortunately, the tackles and the corners have to play. And once you get them out there, it's not a position that you roll guys. And so they have to get used to the length of the game and hanging with it.
This morning when you mentioned the changes, you wanted to help the defense. Are those changes to new or changes back to what some might be familiar with?
We're just making our adaptations. We have to adapt to the guys in the scheme and make sure that everybody's, you know, getting the stuff that they need and the prep that they need. And it's just ball coaching. You know, it's not like, oh, we're going to go back and do something we used to do and that kind of stuff. We're not doing that.
What does Ryan Neal got to do to get
on the field? Well, he ran into Josh Jones, who has played really well, you know, and he's done a good job. Ryan is ready to go. He's a great competitive kid in our team. I love him, and I wish he was on the field more. We haven't shoved our way into the.
All right, there's Pete Carroll. Obviously, problems with the stream today.
If
the
you
connection.
Guys, I can fill everything in. What you missed? You stole my joke.
Oh, I didn't. Such a common joke. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what was happening with that stream.
Yeah, that was annoying. That was annoying. So yeah. We're sorry about that, but. Yeah, I think you heard most of it there, the gist of it. But, you know, what are you going to say? You know, the Ryan Neal thing at the very end that he said, you know, that he ran into Josh Jones. And I'm not sure how Josh Jones played. I'll have to go through and look a little bit. And, you know, and I don't know what the defenses are and things like that and what they're asking them to do in certain situations. But there are some times where, you know, like I said, that the touchdown to Drake London, I'm just like, I thought this. They put themselves in a position to get beat a couple of times, mm-hmm. You know, and I was talking about that earlier about the Washington State DB who turns his hips and then the guy cuts across him and he has to turn all the way. You know, your body position and then your alignment. And I thought that was an alignment issue with Josh Jones that I don't know if you remember this the week before. And there's been a lot of criticism of Cody Barton, which I don't know if that's because they truly are criticizing what he's done or because they're trying to stick it to me because I've been a champion of Cody Barton. But
I think it's both.
Yeah. So, but and that's fine. I don't mind. But the Jeff Wilson Jr. where they split him out against San Francisco and then Cody goes running out there and then he gives himself like a 10, 12 yard cushion. So they just throw an out route to Jeff Wilson Jr. And because he's faster and, you know, all that, he beats Cody to the pylon and, you know, it's a touchdown. And I thought Josh Jones kind of had the same situation. Like, he didn't line up in the right spot. I'm not 100% sure on where his, if that was truly two man, you know, a little bit of help over the top, but also, you know, you could know where your help is. That's the other thing. And if you have help over the top, know if it's cover two and where your safety is, you know, is he on the inside? Is he on the outside? And those kinds of things. It was very, I don't know, alignment assignment type of stuff that I thought was, yeah, one time they lined up and they were just beat, like, from the get-go. Like, if it was that little electric football game, you just turn it on and it...
Oh, where they vibrate
they buzz
the pieces.
Vibrate, yeah.
It's the worst game ever.
That's what... Yeah, it was the worst game. But if you, like, load it up on one side and had a guy running the ball there, that's kind of what happened there. So, yeah, they're pretty basic things. But, and look, these are super smart coaches. That's the thing about Sean Desai. We know Clint Hurt. We know Carl Scott. We've heard them, you know, coach and everything. And he's a doctor, Sean Desai. He's got a doctorate in education or something like that, which that's what coaching is. It's teaching. So we know these guys are really smart. So I'm wondering if it's, okay, we got to simplify things a little bit. We're giving these guys too much. And that's not even a knock on the player. I mean, I think every player, I mean, some guys like are freaky, like Peyton Manning, you know, Russ. I mean, they can process just tons and tons of information. But, you know, most guys, and I'll put myself in that category, I don't want to be thinking out there too much. I want it to happen and occur naturally. And so I wonder if that might be kind of what's going on there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just... It's going to be an interesting watch. I think it's going to be very up and down. I think we're going to come in on some Mondays, go, man, they look good yesterday. And then we're going to come in another Monday and go, I don't know what that was. I think that's the nature of youth, the level of youth they have and inexperience. It's just they're kind of forming as the season goes on. So definitely good things, definitely bad things in this one, certainly to build off of. Meanwhile, is there any reason at all to be a little bit worried about one of these Mariners starting pitchers? We'll tell you who we're talking about next. It's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports Station on 710.
This is Seattle Sports Station.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob, brought to you by Angel of the Winds Casino Resort.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Coming up at 5 o'clock, Rashad Penny will join us on the program. Make sure you stay tuned for that. Good talker, good personality. Like good, the way he's running these days. So
good runner, good catcher, as Pete would say.
Hey, good catcher of the ball.
Yeah.
reminder coming up this week. The Mariners, obviously, day off today. The homestand starts tomorrow, game one against the Rangers. Final 10 games of the season. Get out there. They're going to be taking on the Rangers, 6:40 p.m., September 27th through September 29th. Those are Mariner value games. So that's the Rangers series Tuesday through Thursday. Final homestand of the regular season begins with the three straight Mariners value games against the Rangers on Tuesday, September 27th. You can get $10 view tickets, $20 main tickets, and $30 Terrace Club seats. How about that? So just head to mariners.com. You can find your tickets there.
Fill them up, man.
Yeah, that building was so cool for that Angel series last year. Oh, man.
I couldn't make it to any of the games just because of all the football stuff going on. But, you know, we were doing an away game over at Lumen. So, obviously, they were on the road because we didn't travel last year. So, we're, you know, they're watching the game, and I can't remember which one it was, but I could hear the crowd over there, and I was like, I wish I was over there.
Yeah. You know? Sounds like more fun.
Yeah, we're calling the game off of television, and maybe it was Indy, maybe their opener. But anyway, yeah, it was cool to hear. I mean, you could hear the roar. That's what's awesome about it because, you know, we're sitting there looking at our phones kind of following along, and then, you know, you hear like a huge roar that takes a while for it to get on the internet machine. Yeah. And so, you know, you push it and you're like, yes, this guy just got a triple and scored somebody or whatever. So, yeah. But I think it's going to be a packed house.
I hope so. I hope so. I mean, every player we've talked to about the crowds and how they've grown this season, how much more intense they've become, every player we've asked about it, they're like, oh, man, it is so cool to be out there and what a huge difference it is. And they get juiced when the crowd's going nuts. So, yeah I'm hoping it's a full building.
Well, and I think the Seahawks, too, Pete talked quite a bit about that and about how what a difference that makes. And yesterday you were at the game.
Yeah.
I would say 95% capacity, maybe.
They're a little less. There are a lot of. I was actually talking to Stacy about it as we were just kind of looking at different sections and like behind one end zone, there were a lot of empty seats and up high. It was maybe a little less. I was actually a little surprised how many seats appeared to be empty. Just scattered throughout.
I don't know. It was a game against Atlanta, and it was a nice day of the summer and all that. I just didn't expect that much. Maybe that's what it was. But I feel like everybody's in the mood to get out and support the team. And you know, look, the Seahawks right now. You know, they're 1-2. And the Mariners are just a little bit more. There's more on the line right now.
Oh, yeah. So you're coming down the home stretch here. Yeah. We're talking 20 years of futility here.
Yes.
It's going to come to an end, and everybody should be a part of it, should be able to say, I was there.
Can I just, please, whoever's listening, can we not shut down I-90 West, please? I mean, we're trying to get something going here, man. Yeah. We're trying to get this playoff run going. And
trying to get people here.
Yeah.
You're impeding our progress. This happened after the show Friday and over the weekend that the Mariners extended Luis Castillo to a 5-year contract extension, which I think is great. I think he's such a huge addition. But you look at the last two starts and go, and I had people on Twitter, as you might imagine, Dave, a little irrational.
You're a troublemaker, Bob.
Well, no, this was sort of a non sequitur. Like I'm complaining about, you know, how they blow this lead and the bullpen and the blah, blah, blah. And somebody said, I was told our ace was going to start today. And I'm like, okay, come on. Now they've all sort of taken turns at the wrong time of throwing up duds, if you will. His last two starts have not been great. And I don't know that there's any concern. It's certainly not good. I mean, he ends up being credited with 5 earned runs given up yesterday, 5 1/3, 3 walks. The game before that against the A's, he goes 4 2/3, gives up 4 earned runs, 2 walks, 4 strikeouts. These are very un-Luis Castillo-like starts, if you will. Is there anything in you that feels like, man, is he getting tired? Does he have soggy arm, Dave? Does he have a balky shoulder, elbow? You know, well, because it feels like each one, if we go through it, you look at Logan's last start, not good. Kirby's last start, first time he's walked more than one hitter in any game this year, and he walked 3.
Yeah, that and it does all of a sudden make you worry, like, is there something going on here?
Or are they hitting a wall? I mean, we're just, you know, we're this is it. Final 10, you've played 152 games to this point. So,
well, I'm curious about this one because we got this about Jamal Adams. Oh, we got his big contract. And now he's in, or you hearing any of that on Twitter? Is anybody saying anything?
I didn't see
like that.
I saw, we had a couple people texting today. This guy's not an ace. This guy's not. Okay.
Why? Because of 2 games, 2 outings?
I guess. Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Well,
look, they're fans, right? They overreact. That's what fans do.
Yeah. I get it. I wasn't dazzled with his performance yesterday, nor was he, you know, and the one before that. So, you know, he's kind of gotten into that one bad inning where he starts out well. And Marco has been this guy where he has that one inning where you're just like, man, he can't find the strike zone and guys are squaring everything up. And then he just sort of dials it in. And again, lo and behold, he's giving you a quality start there. So he feels like he's kind of in that. Robbie Ray had that going early in the season. Remember, he'd be pitching well and he'd have that one inning where things just kind of fell apart. So I don't know. I don't know where you're at with it. I don't have a concern yet because we've kind of seen each guy take a turn with that.
Yeah, I think the thing that would worry me about it is that because we've been pretty lucky as far as the health of the rotation.
Very.
Everywhere else, not so much.
Yeah.
But they have been very fortunate, I'll say it that way, because lucky sounds like you just pulled it out of your tail or whatever. But, yeah, I feel like that, you know, that does worry me. It does worry me that, like you said, they start to wear down a little bit because, man, it's a long season for these guys. But I don't know. I mean, this is where I think the crowd and the adrenaline and everything can kind of bring him through. Look, these guys are—they're still like a little kid out there on the field, on the diamond. And I feel like, you know, everybody thinks, oh, they're professionals and they're going to shut everything out and all that stuff. But you know, I feel like ultimately they're still like the little kid on the playground.
Yeah.
You know. By the way, who's this guy in the cowboy hat?
I think that's Dez Bryant.
Dez Bryant. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know why he's wearing number 7. What's the significance of that?
I don't get that either. But I just wanted to.
88. Right,
just a quick detour to.
Yeah. You're distracted by his cowboy
hat. I just want to talk about cowboy fans and how obnoxious they are.
Yeah.
So, there we go. But Luis Castillo is a guy that I do you know, I don't worry about him specifically. I worry about the rotation, and maybe it's not good to, you know, say, oh, we have good luck or bad luck, or, you know, luck doesn't have anything to do with it. But they've been fortunate as far as the injuries go. And if what happened, what's happening right now with Cal Raleigh, you know, and then we've had it this year with Ty France and Haniger and, you know, certainly Julio Rodriguez, if that all of a sudden.
Suarez.
Yeah, Suarez, forgot about him. You know, all of a sudden that plague hits the starting rotation. Oh, it'll be horrible timing.
Yeah, hopefully it won't, because you're right. They've been untouched. I mean, you know, so knock on wood, hopefully everything, it's just a blip for those guys, because they, along with the bullpen, allow your offense to be as hot and cold as they've been. I mean, which they certainly have been. They've had great game.
Yeah.
You put up 12 runs. You should win a game where you score 12 runs, by God.
Well, and think about how much the starting rotation has helped the bullpen.
Yeah,
I mean, those guys have pitched the, I think it's the second or third fewest innings of any bullpen. So you just, it's such a solid start to, like, everything. That's what you want to start with. And, you know, I know now that we don't have offense going, like, you know, it makes that seem a little bit more desirable, but like you just said, look at last year. What happened?
Yep. All right, coming up, the Mariners did win one thing yesterday. You're going to hear about that when we sweep the dial. Coming up with Wyman and Bob, this is Seattle Sports Station on 710.
Scanning the airwaves for the most interesting and entertaining stories of the day. Sweeping the dial every afternoon at 4:45 with Wyman and Bob.
One annoying part of the Mariners losing that big lead yesterday is we couldn't really have fun with this moment. Before the game, when Robbie Ray and Luke Weaver engaged in a national anthem standoff, and Robbie Ray won. But later, after that, both guys got ejected for this.
Don't play no fire. Get out of here. Get out of here. He's going over to the Royals. And come on, he's waving them off. Get out. And now the third base up for Marvin Hudson. You got to go. You got to go. Cut it. Cut it. And now Marvin Hudson telling Robbie to get lost, too. Now Marvin Hudson's coming down. He's in third base.
You got to go.
I've not seen this get to this point. Now
Robbie won.
The Royal dude took off. Robbie raises his fist to the Mariner fans here at Kauffman Stadium. Robbie Ray with the W to get the Mariners going here. Oh. The final road game of the season.
That was a weird thing, and now, again, being up in the press box at the Seahawks game, I didn't see that, and I didn't, for whatever reason, if people were tweeting about it, I missed it, so when I came home to rewatch that game, I saw that, and I'm like, what the hell is happening here?
You didn't know that was a thing?
I'd never seen that before in my life, and then Aaron Goldsmith, I heard a clip of him talking, or heard him on the broadcast, I should say, talking about it, saying the last time it happened was like 2013 in the NLCS or something like that. So I don't recall ever hearing about it. I thought it was funny. And the beauty is it could have helped the Mariners in a normal situation where they don't face plant, because they lost a reliever. That was one of their bullpen guys. So potentially
our guy wasn't going, right?
Yeah, that made no difference. It was funny that Robbie's holding up the fist like, yes, he turned away first. And the whole dugout, the Mariner dugout, were cheering and everybody. Did you watch the whole clip?
I did. And
they came and sprayed the sunblock on him while he was out there. Yes. One of the guys from the dugout came out with a can of the sunblock and was spraying Robbie Ray, just standing there.
So they're buddies, those two, you think? They planned it before?
Well, I don't think they planned it. I don't know. They played together in Arizona. I don't know if they're buddies or just what the relationship's like.
That was about 12 to 13 minutes of them standing there.
You're kidding. It went that long.
Because they do the anthem, about 10 minutes before the game starts, and then players come out into the field and start warming up. So that's literally at the moment where Max Castillo, the Royals pitcher, is on the mound ready to go.
Yeah.
That's when the ump finally kicked him off.
So did we even say that they were out there with their hand over their heart, standing there at the national anthem? I mean, that's just a weird thing to have a contest about.
Never seen that before.
They do that more in minor leagues and college baseball. But
really?
I've never even heard of that.
A surprise. Again, baseball is something I've never seen that. And Goldsmith saying last time he saw it was almost a decade ago.
By the way, you were at the game yesterday.
Yes.
Did you see the national anthem?
It was fantastic.
National anthem singer of the year. I'm going to find out who it is.
She was really good.
She was phenomenal.
Sweeping the dial.
Well, if you remember, after that Monday night win, Pete Carroll came on with Brock and Salk and said they had noticed something with Russell Wilson. They wanted to make him go left, that he had struggled a little bit more when he had to go to his left. So the Broncos won last night. Russell Wilson keyed a late comeback drive to win. And afterwards, he seemed to be aware of those comments.
You know, Kendall Hinton, you know, making that big play. I went left. I guess I can still go left. But I went left and, you know, hit Kendall on that. That was a big play by him. And then,
Yeah, good for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take a shot, throw one back, see how long it goes on.
Well, and it was pretty cordial, too. It was pretty nice.
Yeah. Obviously, they're going to be aware that if any time one of them makes a reference to the other, it's going to get to them.
Yeah.
Whether they acknowledge it or not publicly, they're going to hear about it.
Do you see these two, like, 10 years from now or whenever when they're retired being, like, best buddies again?
Yeah.
Yeah. I still can't get over the Monday Night Football scene in 2019 where they went in overtime and Russ and Pete are running out to the middle of the field and grabbing each other's, you know, shirts and yanking each other and hugging. And
they shared too much good for it to be washed away. Time will heal whatever wounds are there. Right. Russell will come back a conquering hero. He's going to be in the Ring of Honor. So will Pete Carroll. And yeah, I think this is now. This is Fred. It's an open wound right now.
Sweeping the dial.
Well, what a strange weekend around Seattle for football games and drone delays. Because late in UW's blowout win over Stanford, they had to wait. They had to get off the field, stand on the sidelines because there was a drone. There was something flying over the game. All right, that's kind of annoying. It happens once. But then yesterday, the same thing happened at the Seahawks game.
Official timeout, security to clear the field. And we understand we're getting word that there was some type of drone over the field that should not have been there, was not cleared to be there.
This happened with the Stanford Washington game last night. I wonder if it's the same person. I mean, it's not funny, but like, and what do?
You clear the field, you call a timeout, make sure.
Yeah.
Everybody.
But you intercept the drone?
Yes. It's an official timeout with a drone over the field. Players have cleared the field. We'll have more in a moment.
Like how he started that out like a very old school pukey radio. There's a drone over the field right now. Players standing on the sidelines as this is being cleared up. But yeah, I don't know if you, did you guys know what was happening? Because we're in the press box going, what the hell's going on?
We heard about it somehow. Somebody down on the field, I think. And
yeah, it took a while for the message to get it where everybody's looking and going, what is happening here?
I made the comment, that's what shotguns are for.
Yeah.
And
get those skeet shooters out there.
Yeah, I thought. I got crickets on that one. So.
Nobody thought that was
funny.
Nobody
thought that was very funny. But, I don't... What, did they think that there was going to be, like... Did it have a laser on it or something like that? Or?
Those are sharks that have those.
Oh, Dave. Sharks with lasers.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. That's weird that it's... Is it the same person that did it at both games?
Yeah,
is that going to be the new fad
nights,
now?
That's strange.
Is there going to be some goofball in his car in the parking lot? Go, watch this. I'm gonna script the whole game. This is going to be great.
Every once in a while, I'll see one, like, fly over my house. And I got to say, it bothers me a little bit.
Does it?
Yeah, if it's sitting up above my house, like, what do you want? What are you looking at?
What do you want? Yes, it's a hillbilly fence.
I do
okay?
think it would be. I do think it would be really funny if you pulled out your shotgun and shot it.
Just, yeah,
there. I'll fix your wagon.
Yeah, yeah. I don't
try flying your drone now.
It's a weird coincidence. It would be at two games. I'm wondering if it's the same person or same group of people who said this is gonna be funny. Watch this.
Oh, great! You know, now it'll be like
the thing,
right? And everybody will see
it's
if
like
they can.
When everybody was doing the laser pointers to pitchers and guys shooting free throws. Remember, that was the thing for a while to do the laser pointer. So I guess this is the new dumb thing. All right, coming up, Rashad Penny is off to a good start this season, and he is going to join us next in our player spotlight. Coming up with Wyman and Bob, this is Seattle Sports Station on 710.